Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to our special New Year's edition of the Voice of Truth. We're going to bring some wonderful music for you, a couple of tracks going way back to an album that was released right at a little over 17 years ago. Back then, 2001, I was the creative director for the United Pentecostal Church International's North American Missions Division. Back in those days, it was called the Home Missions Division. And I oversaw a nationwide evangelism thrust called Ready to Be Free. And one of the items that was produced in conjunction with that evangelism effort was a music project in which we went around our fellowship and got wonderful songwriters, singers, musicians to contribute to the project. And it was called simply the Ready to Be Free Music CD. So we want to bring you track 2, and then later, at the end of our broadcast, we want to bring you track 3 of that project. Track 2 is titled You Believed in Me by Mike Carlin, great singer. And then after that song, we'll be bringing you a wonderful message preached recently in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church by one of our ministering elders. Elder Hannah Sandy preached a tremendous and very touching message titled The Power of Communication. And she is certainly someone that I believe in, and this song is very appropriate as an intro for her message. And then later, at the end of the broadcast, we'll be bringing you track 3. Again, this is Mike Carlin from Ready to Be Free, singing You Believed in Me.
Prison bars in front, not of iron or steel, but the fears that held me there were every bit as real. So many times I'd failed to run from who I'd been. Everything I tried to chase was like the wind. The folk was there beside me, I could and see it then, but the chains of doubt were lifted when you stepped in. You believed in me, knew that I could fly, scorned my broken wings, gave me back the sky. You gave life to dreams that no one else could see. You set my spirit. I wore, you knew the pain I hid, saw beyond my lack of faith, all the selfish things I did. I couldn't push your love away, even when I tried, you stood immovable and strong by my side. Now there is hope and freedom inside this doubt of sorts, where prison walls once stood. Set my spirit free, 'cause believed in me.
We have another minister getting ready to come and preach to us. Elder Hannah, come and whatever the Lord's given you, tell us.
Praise the Lord. You guys can stand with me tonight. And tonight I'll be in Psalm 147, verse 3. It says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You can be seated. Tonight I'd like to spend just a few minutes of your time talking from the title of The Power of Communication. And I'd like to start in my traditional way, telling an embarrassing story about myself. So has anyone ever been to Trader Joe's? It's like the best grocery store in the world. Okay, I heard an amen. I heard an amen from the vegetarian. Yes, it's like the most vegetarian and vegan friendly place on the planet. Jesus loves it, I'm pretty sure. So the one in Pittsburgh is extra magical because you go in and they have a mascot. And this mascot is a penguin. And if you haven't met me, my name is Hannah and I really love penguins. And so I go in and I see this little mascot and his name is Iceberg the penguin. He's wonderful. And if you find Iceberg the stuffed penguin hidden in the store, you win a prize. So every time Rusty and I would go to the store, I would drag him through the aisles looking for this stuffed penguin. He was embarrassed. I was not. And the fourth time I'm finally walking through this store, we go up there every once in a while. And I looked over at Rusty and I said, listen, we're not leaving. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I said, I haven't found Iceberg yet and I'm not leaving and you can't make me. So here we are looping this store for like the 12th time. They probably think I'm casing the place. And finally, in the clearing of cereal boxes, there is Iceberg the penguin. And I found him. And by me, I mean Rusty. But he let me have it. And it was the most magical moment of my life, at least of that day. And I run up to the cash register. I forget that I've been grocery shopping. I run up to the register and the lady asks me how I'm doing. And I tell her I am doing wonderful and I just found Iceberg the penguin. And then she gives me that look. That look when you want to tell someone they're stupid, but you don't actually want to say it because it wouldn't be very nice and you don't know them. I got that look. And then she talks to me like I'm stupid. And she goes, oh, really? And I was already too far into it. I couldn't turn back, even though I was really embarrassed, because it's suddenly dawning on me. I'm an adult woman who has a stuffed penguin in her hands asking for a treat because I found him. So I told her, yes, I found Iceberg. He was in the cereal. And she says, oh, really? And she turns behind her and there is a box of suckers. And she said, do you want a prize? Yes, I do. I want a prize. And I said, can I have one for him too? And she just kind of looks at me and looks at him. And you know she has to be embarrassed for all three of us, but I can't stop. I'm just too far. I can feel the sinking in my stomach. My heart has now dropped. My face is like 12 shades of red, but I'm getting that sucker. So I grabbed two, and then I changed the color because I saw a red one. And I don't speak to her the rest of the time, and I don't make eye contact. It's just too shameful. So I get out to the car and I told Rusty how this was one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. And, you know, he just smiles because he's a good human. And I know he knows. And even though this is a really funny story, it does make a really good point. The fact that the way people speak to us and the words they say are really powerful. I went in with such joy and such excitement over something so small. I wasn't embarrassed. I wasn't ashamed. I didn't feel dumb. But in the matter of a 5-second time span, I saw suddenly felt like a complete moron. And I hadn't felt that way prior. I was going through the store very proud of myself. But this one woman who I didn't know, had no connection with, who I would likely never, ever see again, suddenly caused me to have a pit in my stomach. I questioned myself. I was embarrassed, and I have never looked for iceberg since. One woman who I had no meaningful relationship with had such power over how I felt and how I responded, not just in the moment, but in the future too. I know Iceberg is hiding behind that cereal, but I'm not going to look for him. And what's so interesting is that it works like that in our day-to-day relationships. And it's even more powerful when we know the people, when we have a connection to them, when they're people we care about, when they're people that we're in communion with on a regular basis. Suddenly, their words are very powerful. They can sting if they're not in love. They can be painful. They can be sharp and jagged. They can have edges you weren't expecting. And even things that should be kind of small really cut deep. And what we found is that, what we found through lots of research is that it's not just short-term impacts words have on us. And it's not just our emotions and our feelings either, but it actually changes the brain and it impacts the body. So what we found is people who are being told on a regular basis that they're not worthy or they're being verbally abused, people who aren't being treated well by the people that should love them, they're more likely to have chronic disease as they get older. We can predict which kids, based on if they're being abused, if they're going to have chronic illness as adults. They're more likely to become addicted to drugs, to be incarcerated, to drop out of school, to have unstable relationships, to have children out of wedlock. And the list goes on and on, all from not having stable, loving communication as children. And as adults, we find that when people are traumatized by whatever circumstance, whatever person, because people do a lot of damage, it literally changes the brain. So the brain can be broken up into a lot of fun ways, and I could talk about it for hours because it's exciting, but I won't do that to you. You're welcome. But what we found is that there's two big chunks of the brain, if you want to break it up like that. And in this front piece here is what we like to call your prefrontal cortex, or just think of it as your cortex. And that part of the brain helps us with rational thinking. It helps us make sound decisions. It helps us think through things. It's great for problem solving. Kids don't have this part of their brain developed yet. Doesn't happen until we're about 28, just throwing that out there. 26 for women. And then there's the second part of the brain that develops really early on. And this is the part of the brain that deals with impulse. Kids are great at this. They want it and they get it. It also deals with things like fear and aggression. This is the part of the brain that makes us feel anxious or scared or sad. And what happens is when people are consistently hurtful, when they are throwing jabs at us, and they do it over a period of time, and we really think they should love us, they should care about us, it flips the way the brain responds. So suddenly, this piece of the brain just shuts off. It says, no, thank you, not today. And that back part of the brain that deals with fear and anxiety, it kicks into overdrive, and it is going 24/7. It doesn't recognize that you're not in danger. It responds as if your life is always in danger, as if you could die if it doesn't do something. That's how sharp words are. It can literally convince your brain that it is going to die if it doesn't do something. And that's why the Bible says things like this. Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Ephesians 4 and 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Titus 3 and 2, speak evil of no one. Avoid quarreling, be gentle, and show perfect courtesy towards all people. It is so important that our communication be kind and loving. And it's even more important to the people who seem to be so hateful and venomous. To the people that you know if you go to love them, they're going to be a bit like porcupines. Those are likely the people that have been hurt the most, who have been traumatized the most, the people who are most likely to have experienced some really scary things that they weren't sure how to cope with. Our job as the church is to love one another, to be gentle and kind, to acknowledge that we may not recognize everything the person beside us is going through. That we just need to love people. We need to be trustworthy. We need to be that gentle and stable support, even if it doesn't seem like they want us in the moment. But what's amazing about all of this is that even if our brain does some really wonky things, and even if we've gone through a lot of scary stuff, whether as kids or as adults, sometimes life and people just throw curveballs that you were not expecting, and it really messes up your life plans. But what's awesome is that the Bible already has all of the answers of how to deal with this and how to fix it. And the Bible had the answers way before researchers did. But it's amazing that as we do research, it really backs up what the Bible's already been telling us for thousands of years. So again, we've done some weird research, and I feel like I say that often because we do weird things. So we did some odd research, and what we actually found is that there's some really simple ways to actually fix the brain. It's not a fixed point. It's actually moldable. We can shape it. We can change the structure of the brain all throughout our lifespan. We don't have to be just little ones. And what we found is we can do this 30 minutes a day, and we can change the brain. So most researchers will tell you, meditate 30 minutes a day, and in about a month, you'll notice changes in the brain, physical changes. For us, prayer works in just the same way. When we take a minimum of 30 minutes a day and we connect with our power source, when we connect with the God who is above all and through all and in all, when we connect with the one person who has never failed us, when we communicate with the God who has always loved us and can take care of every problem, when we connect with our source of joy, it changes us. We don't change him. We don't make him any worse off. But he changes us from the inside out. And what we found is that people who consistently pray just 30 minutes, like he has given us so much more than 30 minutes of his time. If we can just do that in a month's time, it actually changes the brain. So what ends up happening is the parts of the brain that deal with joy and happiness and peace, those emotional centers, they actually grow. That gray matter increases. And what happens with the parts of the brain that deal with negative emotions, fear, depression, anxiety, those parts of the brain actually shrink and become less active. It's powerful what prayer does. It is incredible. The answers have been here for thousands of years, but now we have research to back up how incredible our God really is. We found that people that pray 30 minutes a day, statistically, they're less likely to be clinically depressed. They're less likely to suffer from clinical anxiety. They're less likely to have chronic disease. It is amazing what happens if we are consistent in our walk with God. And I recognize it's difficult at times. We get very busy very quickly as humans. But the benefits are so important, and they outweigh all of the reasons why we tell ourselves we don't have time. And I say all this to say that the simple truth is, if we communicate kindly with others and we communicate with God, we can get through absolutely anything in our lives. There is nothing too difficult for our God. There is nothing too big, too scary, and there's nothing that we can't handle when we're with Him and when we're communing with the people of God. And that's why the Bible says things like this. Psalm 102 and 17. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea. Romans 12 and 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Philippians 4 and 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Colossians 4 and 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. Pray continually. This is so powerful, and I know that we already know the power of prayer, but sometimes we need the reminder, because I know my life has gotten busy. We hit the holidays, we want to see family, we have things to do, we have jobs, and it's so easy to slip out of that cycle. It's so easy to get away from the things that should be most important to us. So tonight, as you stand with me, I ask that we find a place to pray, that we ask God to help us devote ourselves to prayer, to be mindful of what He's done for us and how He can help us if we invite Him into our lives, if we allow Him to work within us, if we give Him the space to be the God of our full selves, He can do amazing things. So tonight, the altars are open if you want to pray where you are. I just ask that you pray and that you really give yourself to God tonight. Lord, tonight we come before your throne knowing that you are a powerful God, knowing that you can do all things if we just allow you, if we just give you the time and the attention, if we just open our hearts and our minds to you, that you can be the healer, that whatever we have gone through, any situation we faced or we're going through now, that you can take care of it, that you can heal the broken heart, that you can calm our minds, that you can give us peace in the midst of anxiety, that God, you can take away depression and fear, that God, you are able to do all things. Lord, I pray that you help us to be dedicated in our walk with you, to love you more, to be kind to ourselves and to others, to have communication that shows the love of Christ. God, that we not be sharp or hateful, but that we love people as you first loved us. In your precious name.
And now, as promised, from the Ready to Be Free Music Project, this is track 3, which is the one and only Mickey Mangan singing Long and Winding Road. She and her husband serve as pastor and first lady of the Pentecostals of Alexandria in Alexandria, Louisiana. And this is one of the most beautiful renditions of one of the most beautiful songs that you would ever hear.
When I made my start for heaven, I could only find one way, a road that led me through the mountains and the valleys, a road not many folks could take. Since I started traveling on my journey, I've covered so many miles behind me, miles of sun and rain, miles of smiles and pain. This road's been rough, but I again would choose the same. So long. Leading me.
Listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.